Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to a pistastic episode of Sour Graps. I am your host, Alex Pulaski, and everything sucks. Oh, brother, does everything suck? There are two things of note on the episode of SmackDown that aired last night. One, in-ring excellence. And two, in-ring embarrassment. And it is a testament to the utter incompetence and ineptitude of this company that the embarrassment, I believe, far outshone even the most excellent of excellences. So let's focus mostly on that. And then we'll talk about the other stuff. And we might even mention the excellence. It might get a mention from me. I'm not sure. So, last night, the episode of SmackDown started with Renee Young in the ring. Do a contract signing for a non-title match, which I don't remember the last time that had ever happened. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but I don't remember the last time I saw a non-title contract signing. But Sheamus comes out first, and he's got a doctor in tow. A doctor with him. Also, like, four or five, you know, black khaki-clad security guards. And they're carrying a partition of some sort. And then now comes Jeff Hardy. Now, this is after they did a little, you know, recap of what happened 2 weeks ago with the automobile accident. And also the, you know, Jeff Hardy saying, it wasn't me, it was Sheamus last week. I still say it's going to be Sami Zayn. He might even show up at Backlash and say, hey, Jeff, it was me. And Jeff gets so surprised he loses to Sheamus. You know, he distraction finish. That'd be just like WWE to do that. Because remember, Jeff Hardy said the eyewitnesses said there was a guy with red hair and a red beard. So it's got to be Sheamus, right? But if it was Sheamus, it's just so obvious. So it probably is Sheamus. They're trying to think that we won't think that. I don't know. I still say probably going to be Sami Zayn, because then Sami Zayn can show up and go, ha ha, Jeff Hardy, it was me. I did it because I don't like you, Jeff Hardy. And then cops will come out and arrest Sami Zayn, and he'll be off TV for at least a couple of years while he does time for attempted vehicular manslaughter. Because all Vince wants is for Sami Zayn to be off television, I think. Anyway, so here's what happens. Jeff Hardy comes out, and Renee's like, I don't know what do you have? What do you have planned, Sheamus? What's going on? I don't understand. And Jeff's like, I don't care what it is. Just let me sign the contract because I can't wait to kick your ass. He's really, Sheamus, come on. Can we just sign the contract so I can have my match with you at Sunday? Golly, you tried to ruin my life, and I don't like that very much. I think that's very bad of you to do that to me, Sheamus. I'm really upset with you. That is the extent of Jeff Hardy's anger that he shows towards Sheamus at that moment. Maybe it's because he doesn't want to fully commit to the scene, because he knows at the end of it what's going to happen. Anyway, Sheamus is like, well, I brought Dr. Kirschenbaum here. they named the doctor Dr. Kirschenbaum, presumably because Dr. Jew would have been a little too on the nose. Dr. Kirschenbaum, and they got the most Kirschenbaumy looking dude they could find. I'll mention where they found him or where they might have found him, where they should have known they could have found him. I'll mention that in a second. Now, Dr. Kirschenbaum here is going to give you a urine test because I'm not going to get in the ring with any junkie. A junkie. You're just a junkie. And so Seamus hates junkies. And so he is going to, his lawyers have told him that he should get, force Jeff Hardy to have a urine test. It feels like, I don't know, that's something that should be administered, I don't know, not in the middle of a ring, but whatever. Jeff, I guess he says he doesn't have anything to hide, so he'll do it. And so he and Dr. Kirschenbaum go behind this partition, and they try and make sure that Renee can't see because he doesn't want to offend a lady, says Seamus. I'm not a lady, and I was offended by this segment. But anyway, they make Jeff pee in a large beaker. I mean, it's, and when they come out from behind the partition, it is not only like a full friggin' pint glass full of urine, but it is also the color of something else you might find in a pint glass, a nice lager. Jeff Hardy needs to see a doctor. Maybe Dr. Kirschenbaum is a urologist. He should talk to him because I think he's got some kidney problems. That urine was friggin'... That was as yellow as like egg drop soup that you get at the Chinese buffet back when Chinese buffets were a thing. RIP Chinese buffets because of the COVID. I miss buffets. Not like Homestown buffet, like screw that, but like a Chinese buffet, like a good one, not a bad one. Not one like a Chinese restaurant that like has, hey, we have a lunch buffet too. Nah, I'm not touching that crap. But like an actual Chinese buffet. Ooh, man. Well, they got like the ones got like the you ever been to one of those that's got like a, I don't know who I'm talking to. Have you ever been to one of those that's got like the hibachi stand as part of the buffet? I just go to the hibachi stand like 4 or 5 times. There's a reason I'm very overweight. Anyway, yeah. So Jeff Hardy, get your piss tested, not for drugs. I'm assuming you're clean. But you should get your piss tested to find out why it is the color of, like, day-old Mountain Dew. That's the problem. Anyway, I guess they wanted to make sure that you could see it in the glass. Because if, you know, Jeff Hardy drinks a lot of water, it would be fairly clear. Fairly clear. Not entirely clear, but fairly clear. You want to make sure you can identify it as being something, you know, on TV. Anyway, so Dr. Kirschenbaum, Dr. Jew, he gets a little test. He's dipping something in it. Maybe a tea bag, I'm not sure. And he's dipping something in it for a while, you know, while Seamus is lecturing the audience about the, you know, just say no or some shit. And then he's like, you know, what do you have to say for yourself, Jeff Hardy? And he's like, you're having a blast with this, aren't you? And then he says, you know, just say no is a famous phrase or whatever. You know what else is a famous phrase? And he turns around and he grabs the thing with the beaker of piss And Dr. Kirschenbaum's like, I need that to test it. Oh, well, I'll just stand here because I've been told to stand here. And Jeff Hardy's like, you better to be pissed off than pissed on. And he just throws it directly into Sheamus's open mouth. Which is why it probably is the color of beer, because I think it is beer. But, you know, Sheamus is understandably upset, and Jeff Hardy signs the contract with a flourish and walks out. Now, that's what happened on the East Coast feed. On the West Coast feed, and I'm going to say all other subsequent airings or showings of this particular episode of SmackDown, they cut the scene short. Right after Jeff goes, you're having a blast with this, aren't you? They just cut it off. And they go right into the greatest wrestling match ever will not probably involve pee being thrown at somebody. Because if it did, it would be censored. They scrubbed all evidence of one of the dumbest, worst, most ill-thought-out... I mean, listen. Katie Vick notwithstanding, if you take out, like, the worst all-time ideas that have made it to air in the history of WWE, if you take out the very worst of them, this probably is in the top 20. I'd go ahead and say top 20 ideas that were so stupid you shouldn't have done it. But they did it. And then apparently on the East Coast feed, I don't know. I haven't seen the East Coast feed. As I say, I don't watch SmackDown live. I watch it the next day on the Hulu. But I DVR it on the Hulu. I got the Hulu TV. And I got a DVR with that. So I DVR the SmackDowns. And then the next day, in the morning, I can go and I can push play on the SmackDowns. And I get the thing that recorded on my TV with my local commercials the night before. Not this one, though. This one wasn't that one. This one, there was no recording of the DVR version. That didn't exist. I could only watch the actual Hulu app version, which has, like, only national commercials, including, I swear to Christ, 12 commercials for Fox Nation. 12. Because you got to get the word out to people about racist grandpa Netflix. Got to get the word out about Fox Nation. Anyway, the version that was on the Hulu app was the West Coast feed. Now, I've seen it. I've been able to find things on the internet to actually watch what happened on the East Coast feed. But if Fox was able to go in and scrub my DVR from an East Coast feed recording of the show, something's fishy here. I'm guessing Fox didn't say, hey, you know what's so awesome? Piss being thrown at a dude's face. Maybe you should have run that by the censors ahead of time. So, if you're watching the West Coast feed and you didn't know what happened, it just cuts out after, I bet you're having a blast, and it goes to Randy Orton and Edge, greatest match ever. Ha ha, really? Yeah, sure, really. And then it goes to a commercial, and it comes back from the commercial, and we're in a bathroom. And Sheamus is frantically scrubbing his face and washing his arms and getting everything out of his beard. He's just, oh, he's almost throwing up a bunch of times, right? Now, if you watch the East Coast feed, you know why he's doing that, because he got a whole bunch of piss thrown in his face. But if you're watching the West Coast feed, it just looks like Sheamus has extreme OCD or something. Because you didn't see piss be thrown in his face. You have no idea why he's reacting this way. Anyway, Dr. Kirschenbaum walks in. He's got a line, Dr. Kirschenbaum does. He says, hey, I just, the test came back negative. Tiff Hardy isn't, he's not using drugs right now. And then Sheamus goes, oh. And I guess he smells his own hand, which is where the pee was. And then he starts to throw up again. So that's what happens. If you're watching the West Coast feed, you have no idea why Sheamus is reacting the way he is in this bathroom. You have no idea. They never bothered to explain it. So the piss throw heard round the world happened one time, and we'll never see it again because they had to scrub it out of existence because it was so fucking embarrassing. It was so shameful. They have to hide evidence it ever took place. Here's something even funnier to add to the whole deal. See, Dr. Kirschenbaum, he's got himself a side hustle. He's a dude from the Fiverr Doctor videos, where he's a guy, I guess. They put out a call to any actors who look like they might be named Kirschenbaum who own their own lab coat. Because I swear to Christ, the guy on the show last night was wearing the same costume that he was wearing in these old videos from a year plus ago, where he's a doctor and he says, you've got ligma. Ligma what, you ask? Ligma balls. He does this. This is the thing he does. Apparently, you can pay this guy to tell you you've got sugma. Sugma what? Sugma dick. And after every time he says something like that, he dabs. I shit you not, Dr. Kirschenbaum dabs on him. Candace what? Candy's balls fit in your mouth, son? He dabs on him after everything. There's like a video out there. It's like 2.5 minutes long of him just saying shit like, swallow my cum. This man tells people to swallow his cum. And they said, hey, could you have your own lab coat? And he's like, yeah. Do you think they bothered checking to see if this guy's got viral videos out there where he tells people to swallow his cum? Nah, they didn't bother to do that. No, why would they do that? Why would you vet this actor that you had to come in? The guy shows up and Vince goes, ah, great. You look like just like a guy who'd be named Kirschenbaum. That's the most important thing. The Jew joke. It's the most important thing to the whole thing. I don't care what you've done in your past. You look great. You're hired. Thank God you brought your own lab coat. The incompetence and ineptitude of this company, I swear to Christ. So I've done about 20 minutes on the escapades of Dr. Kirschenbaum and Jeff Hardy's piss being thrown into the waiting open mouth of Sheamus. Let's see how many minutes I do on the IC title match, because I'll bet you it ain't going to be 20. So. There's a match next between The New Day, Big E and Kofi Kingston versus Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro. Shinsuke and Cesaro won because it was a non-title match. And all non-title tag matches are won by the challengers. It's a rule. It has to happen. That's the only way it works. If it's a title match, sometimes the challengers lose. But if it's a non-title match, no. That's the way it is. A non-title match, in a tag team non-title match, the challengers always win. Always. Why? So they can build momentum towards perhaps a future title opportunity. That's the only way it happens ever. But the match doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Who cares? Who cares? Does it matter? No. What matters is that Big E and Kofi came to the ring wearing black armbands. For George Floyd, And also two much lesser cases. Not lesser cases, but lesser known cases. I want to make sure I get the names right, because it's important that we to use the phrase. It wasn't even George Floyd. That's my fault. It's the whole point. George Floyd's gotten a lot of press, and there's actually seemed to be something that's happening in justice for George Floyd's case. Not so these other three women, ladies, black women, Breonna Taylor, cops in Louisville, including one guy who's got a credible sexual assault case against him and all kinds of use of force stuff. They show up at the wrong house to do a no-knock warrant. So the guy who's in the house shoots, thinking somebody's robbing them because somebody just broke down his fucking door and he doesn't know it's the cops. The cops say they said something, but they won't release their body camera, so they didn't say anything. If they did, and the body camera showed that they said something, they would have released that shit, but they didn't. So then they fire indiscriminately into the house and kill a woman who's sleeping. Her name is Breonna Taylor. They still have not arrested any of the three men who shot her, killed her while she slept. Then they released a whole bunch of shit about how, basically the incident report is fucking blank. Like, Breonna Taylor, who died from being shot 8 times, according to the incident report, had no injuries. That seems legit, right? She's in the news a lot. Her what would have been her birthday just passed. And again, people are talking a lot about how there needs to be justice for Breonna Taylor. We need to at least arrest these motherfuckers. But there's also two other cases I had not heard of. And this is on me for not knowing about it. Tamla Horsford, a woman in Atlanta, who wound up dead in her own backyard in 2018, I believe. And they never took photos during her autopsy. It was listed as an accident, like she fell off her own balcony. But there's notes in the case file about bruising, and looks like she was involved in a struggle, but the cops covered it up, so who knows what happened there? The problem is that nobody thinks to ask. So Big E and Kofi Kingston are bringing up that case so that some people might think to look into it and ask questions about it. And the other third is maybe the more most tragic is Shukri Abdi, who's a Somali refugee immigrant. I'm not really sure of the terminology. In the UK, in Manchester, who died in a drowning accident. They're not really sure. A bunch of kids were with her, and the kids, we don't know. But they're trying to cover up everything and not do an inquest into it because, you know, what does it matter? One 12-year-old Somali girl. It matters. It matters to Kofi Kingston and Big E. It does. And they think, rightly so, we have an opportunity and a platform to show our solidarity with this. So they get in the ring wearing those black armbands, and they kneel and raise a fist. It's a very powerful image, and one that should stick with you if you've seen it. And neither Michael Cole or Corey Graves make a fucking peep about it. So, I'm not surprised that they let them do that, because what are you going to do? Tell them no? What if they do it anyway? You going to fire Big E and Kofi Kingston? No, you're not. Not now, for fucking certain. Over that? Mm-mm. So they do it. it's an incredibly powerful image, and they have, we can see that they're wearing these black armbands with names on them. Wouldn't it be interesting if a company like WWE brought even more attention by mentioning it fucking once? That would be nice. But they don't do that. No, they don't do that. It'd be interesting if they did. Big E and Kofi Kingston showing solidarity with victims of police violence or whatever. But nah, not on Vince's fucking show. Are you kidding me? No way. So, an amazing moment from Big E and Kofi Kingston. All respect to them. And no respect to WWE for their cowardice in not helping to bring it to the forefront. So yeah, I mentioned they have the match, and Big E and Kofi lose. I mean, this means that Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura are going to have a title shot, maybe even at Backlash tomorrow. They haven't announced it yet, but they'll have one. I don't know if they'll win it. Probably won't. But it just shows, gosh, we really can't do anything with the Forgotten Sons right now, can we? That's too bad, Jackson Ryker. Maybe you shouldn't be public with it. You can root for whatever horrible motherfucker you want. You can like that guy, but maybe don't put it out there right now. Publicly, for everybody to see. Maybe don't. Yeah. So, Intercontinental Championship Finals. I was certain this was going to end in some kind of schmoz. It was going to be great for as long as it was going to go. But then it was going to end in something. And they're going to do a rematch of it at Backlash. And as I was watching, it was like, oh, fuck no, they can't do this at Backlash. They can't do this match at Backlash. Even like this match, the sequel at Backlash. They can't do that. Why? Because they're promoting the greatest wrestling match ever for Backlash. But not this match. No, no, no. Randy Orton versus Edge is going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. And there's no way they could have put what we saw last night between AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan on Backlash. Because then Orton versus Edge wouldn't have been the greatest wrestling match ever on their own fucking card. I'm positive there's no way Edge and Orton can have a better match tomorrow than the match that Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles put on last night. It was a fucking clinic. And if you haven't seen it, well, you need to. Hopefully, they release the full match, no commercials, onto the WWE Network. This is something that Warren Hayes pitched last night. They need to do it because the commercials really sapped the flow of everything. But these two guys left it all out there. They did amazing, amazing work. Great selling. Awesome. Awesome stuff. The finish, which is the running knee countered into the Styles Clash for some reason. Somehow, it was fucking great. Awesome match. And of course, because it's WWE, the wrong fucking guy won. Now, I'm not saying the wrong guy won because AJ Styles has loathsome beliefs, including for realsies. That the earth is fucking flat. Oh yeah. That motherfucker believes that shit. So. He's. Stupid and or crazy. Or both. But it's not. That's not the reason why the wrong guy won. The wrong guy won because they've been. They've had Daniel Bryan go out there. Over and over and over again. And talk about how when he wins the Intercontinental title. A title he never lost, by the way. He was forced to retire and had to give up the fucking title when he did, so him getting it back would be poetic justice. Poetic justice, says Vince McMahon. What the fuck is that? Never heard of it. Anyway, he says, if I win it now, then, well then, I'm going to have all these amazing open challenges. Anybody who wants a title shot, they get one. I want these guys to come at me with everything they've got, and I'm not going to hold back. I can't wait to have great matches every Friday night on SmackDown. You tune in, you know you're going to see Daniel Bryan versus you don't know who for the Intercontinental title, and you know that match is going to kick ass. Daniel Bryan says, this is what I'm going to do when I'm Intercontinental champ. And WWE says, fuck you, you're not going to be Intercontinental champ. We don't want you to do that. Why would we want you to do that? Good wrestling on a wrestling show? Why would we want you to do that? I mean, occasionally, sure. But every week? That's insane. So they give it to AJ Styles, who's basically said, like, I'm the guy who doesn't work hard. I don't want to try. Who knows what they go from here, but it's a great match. These two guys are two of the best to ever lace up a pair of boots. Two of the very best. And they fucking tore the house down last night. Go watch the match. It's amazing. Is it more impactful than the piss throwing? I don't know. Time will tell. Bailey and Sasha have a celebration of sorts for the fact that they won the tag titles. Hold on one second. I want to make sure I didn't forget anything here. Oh, I forgot something. Let me talk about this. I don't know why Tucky's back. Hi, Tucky. Hello, Tucker. I'm so happy you're back. You're so much more talented than your tag partner, who they're pushing to the moon for some fucking reason. I don't know. I don't understand it either. Anyway, Tucker's back for the first time in two fucking months since before WrestleMania. 2.5 fucking months. I bet you it's been 10 weeks since we've seen him. Anyway, Tucker's back, and he's testing Otis's other senses. I don't know why, because he shouldn't be able to eat. Because you can see something. You can see something coming, but maybe you can't see it coming. If you can't see it coming, maybe you can hear it and whatever. So he's like, he rings a bell in Otis's ears. Like, oh, yee, oh, yee, it's a bell, Tucky. Easy one, Tucky. That's what Otis sounds like. And then he waves a plate of hamburgers in his under his nose. And then Mandy comes over and kisses Otis. And this is where Otis slightly redeems himself. Because this is a funny line and delivered well. He gets kissed. He's got a blindfold on, remember? And he says, he gets kissed on the mouth. And he goes, Tucky, I appreciate the motivation, but okay. Okay, I appreciate the motivation is the most complex sentence Otis has uttered in fucking months. More of that, please. So Otis and Tucky are there with Mandy. I mean, that's fine. The three of them together can work out okay. Except for, you know, Mandy is obviously going to try to turn Otis. It's so obvious. And they look over and they see here's why it's so obvious, because Otis didn't have the Money in the Bank briefcase. They're teaming with Braun Strowman in a 6-man tag. Mandy comes over and makes sure he has the briefcase just in case he might want to use it on Braun Strowman, you know, just in cases. Yeah, sure. Anyway, they swing over, the camera pans over, and you see Jeff Hardy and Sheamus beating the piss out of each other. that match at Backlash is going to be terrible. I mean, it's going to be terrible, but it's not going to be anything to write home about, I'll tell you that. So, anyway, all right, this fucking thing. They're having Braun Strowman recap or like talk about what's going on. Boy, a lot's going on right now. Sheamus urine test in the ring and an IC title match for the ages. Sheamus and Jeff Hardy running around beating everybody up. And later tonight, a main event in which yours truly will team with Heavy Machinery. Again, what the fuck are you doing with Braun Strowman? Just have him tip over cars and pull down fucking scaffolding. Just have him do that. Have him do all the stuff we loved him doing before you cooled him off for a year. And then because Roman Reigns, rightly so, said, plague? So I'm gonna head out. And I'll catch you guys maybe never. That was the right thing for Roman Reigns to do. And they were like, okay, well, we need somebody else to beat Goldberg because Goldberg's got to lose the fucking title. Why do we put that him on him again? That was weird. What a stupid decision that was. Anyway, call Braun Strowman. He finally gets to be a champion. On accident. And so, hey, let's have him do weird, jovial recaps of tonight's action. The fuck are you doing with this guy? Jesus. Yeah, he said Miz and Morrison and Dolph Ziggler are going to get these hands. But old Otis and Tucky, they better not try anything with a briefcase or I'm going to beat them up too. I'm Braun Strowman. Back to you in the studio. What the fuck are you doing, Braun Strowman? The fuck? So now Bayley and Sasha have a celebration because they won the tag titles last week. They come out, there's balloons everywhere. Bayley is wonderfully arrogant and cocky, and she's just doing everything, and I love her so much. And Sasha is great. She's the antithesis. She's like slinking along, holding her belt aloft in the air while Bayley's like punching balloons and going nuts. It's great. They're great together. They're wonderful. I love it. Also love how they bait Michael Cole into posing for a selfie with them, but then like completely get in the way so he's not in the picture. That's great. They get in the ring and they're talking about how awesome they are and everybody likes to, you know. But everybody in the crowd is saying, "You suck, you suck." And that's not true. Bayley says, that's obviously not true. I have two belts. Bayley dose straps, as she likes to be called. And they're talking about how, you know, they say it's low at the top, says Bayley, but it's not low at the top for me because I got my best friend in the world, Sasha Banks. I wrote a poem about how much I love my best friend. And before she could even start reading the poem, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross interrupt. How rude. In the words of one Stephanie Tanner, how rude. And then Alexa be like, I was fine with your little celebration, but once you guys start reading poems to each other, I mean, that's a bit much. She did, bitch. She didn't even start to read the poem. At least, like, have Bayley, like, read a stanza of the poem before you say, this is too much. She didn't even start to read the fucking poem. Anyway, so they're interrupted by Bliss and Cross, who don't really say much of anything before the Iconics show up on the Titantron in front of the Raw set, which is also in the PC. And they say, you know, blah blah blah. We're gonna win at Backlash because we just beat Nikki and Alexa, and also we beat you guys for the tag titles. We ended your first reign, so we're gonna win. And Bayley and Sasha, before you assume it's celebrating, maybe you should look and see. Don't turn your backs on Alexa and Nikki. Alexa and Nikki have snuck behind Sasha and Bayley and then sneak attack them. unprovoked. I mean, I don't think Bailey and Sasha even got a chance to insult them before they were beaten up and tossed from the ring. I just don't love all this. Whatever. Matt Riddle's going to be on SmackDown next week. So my bad for thinking they were going to vignette him for 6 weeks before he even got a match. I'm glad it was only 2 weeks. Miz and Morrison they were interviewed by Kayla Braxton about their new music video, which we saw like 2 seconds of before it's interrupted by Braun Strowman's entrance, Tron. Anyway, so there's a main event match. Why this was the main event and not the Intercontinental title, I have no idea. No idea, especially since it was a fucking clean finish, an amazing match. Devote the last fucking hour of the show to it. Send everybody home. But I guess we go like, what's going to happen on Sunday? Bullshit. So the match is the match. Tucker gets to do some really cool stuff. He gets to he and Morrison. Can I just watch a Tucker versus John Morrison match? Like, give me 14 minutes of those two guys in a singles match. If you said, Tucker, you're in the ring with John Morrison, give me your best 12 minutes, I would be shocked if it wasn't far better than anything that Otis could do with anybody. Tucker's a well-rounded, really great wrestler. Otis is a comedy act. Could Otis be more? Sure. Is he now? Uh-uh. Also, I'm sorry. I hold a grudge against Otis. It's not fair for Otis, you know, but then again, grudges usually aren't. Apparently, this is something that slipped by my radar when it was first reported, but then I found out about a few days later. You know, Zack Ryder is married to, engaged to, Chelsea Green, who is soon to be on Raw, I think, but was at that time in NXT. Remember a few weeks ago when they did the whole stupid dream sequence by the pool with Mandy and Otis, that fucking horrible thing? And I was like, well, I never thought about what pool they were doing it at. I guess it's Florida. There are pools everywhere. Maybe they did it some, you know, a hotel pool or something that they were like, you know, hey, everybody, we'll rent the hotel pool for a while, right? No, Zack Ryder came out in an interview and said that he was sitting there with Chelsea when Chelsea got a text saying, hey, Mandy and Otis are going to come to your pool and do a shoot for SmackDown. And Zack Ryder's like, motherfucker, you just fired me and now you want to use my pool? This fucking company, man. Yeah, that's not cool. I mean, it's really not Otis's fault, but I choose to blame him because it's my show and I fucking hate this Otis push. So, anyway, what was going on? Oh, right. In the middle of the fucking match, while Tucker is kicking all kinds of ass on Dolph Ziggler, for some fucking reason, cut to Baron Corbin on the Titantron, and he's talking to He's talking to the cameraman and he says, hey, come on, follow me, but keep your distance. And the cop cameraman does as instructed. He keeps his distance. He's maybe 10 feet behind Baron Corbin until Baron Corbin stops and starts talking to Mandy Rose. Whereupon the cameraman gets within 3 feet of Baron Corbin and Mandy Rose. So the fucking cameraman didn't do shit. He did not keep his distance at all. And so Baron Corbin starts hitting on Mandy Rose. And so Otis can't believe what has happened, that Baron Corbin would dare to hit on his peach. So he gets down from the apron, runs to the back. And Baron Corbin is talking to Mandy Rose, right? He's just talking to her. He's hitting on her, and she's not outright rejecting him, but certainly not like playing into it or whatever. And then Otis comes and runs over Baron Corbin. But right before that, there's a shot. Here's Mandy Rose in the frame, and here's Baron Corbin in the frame. And all of a sudden, there's a weird flash of blip, 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 blip of little green stuff. And then all of a sudden, when they come back on for a split second, there's no Mandy Rose. So blip, 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 disappeared Mandy Rose. And then here comes Otis, smashes Baron Corbin into the thing and start fighting. So that was like two takes. And one of the takes was after Mandy Rose went home, I guess. Because they just edited her out so fucking sloppily. It's the curious case of the disappearing Mandy Rose. How are you this bad? You have billions of dollars. How are you this bad, WWE? Like, did you think we wouldn't notice? So, coming back from the break after Otis is pummeling Baron Corbin backstage, oh great, I can't wait for lots and lots of Baron Corbin versus Otis matches. Those'll be fun! Anyway, it's now Tucker's in trouble in the middle of the ring, and Morrison and Miz gang up on Braun. A possible preview of Sunday? And then Otis heroically comes back down to the ring with Mandy Rose in tow, cleans house, Strowman does the freight train on everybody, including Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler is the legal man. Braun Strowman is not the legal man. Hits him hard, throws him to the barricade, rolls him back into the ring. Otis does the caterpillar, 1, 2, 3, we win. Now, over on Raw, for a while on Raw, it's been a thing where if you are not the legal man and you hit the legal man and the ref sees it, you're disqualified. The ref was fucking watching this, so I guess the rules of tag team wrestling only apply on Raw and not on SmackDown, except if it's a six-person tag, is that not... If you're not the legal person in a six-man tag, you can do whatever the fuck you want. I don't know. The rules are all so fucking stupid and hardly ever enforced when they do exist. So I don't know. Anyway, Otis won, and I guess somebody tells me that he was looking askance at Braun Strowman. Maybe next time he'll actually cash in that briefcase. We're 48 minutes into this fucking show, and there's nothing else to talk about. Oh, wait. Backlash. I promised... Backlash predictions. What are those? Let's see. Do I got a card here? Let me see if I get a fucking card. There we go. Okay. All right. The greatest match ever will not be the greatest match ever. Either Randy Orton wins via chicanery. Terrible fucking shit. Like, ha-ha, I screwed over you people. You thought I was going to be the best match ever, and I hit him with a chair. Or Edge wins, you know, hard-fought, whatever. I don't care. Braun Strowman crushes Miz and John Morrison. Drew McIntyre beats Bobby Lashley, but it'll be close. It'll be really fun how they, you know, how they have been building up the full Nelson as be like nobody can get out of it. They've been building it up for like all of 3 weeks as an impossible to escape from hold. Can't wait for Drew McIntyre to escape from it. That'll be fun. Because that's happening. Bayley and Sasha versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus the Iconics. I want Bayley and Sasha to retain, if only so they have a chance to go and back to NXT and defend the titles like they said they wanted to a year ago. However, I have a sneaky suspicion that this is where they will turn on each other and the Iconics will become champions. Asuka versus Nia Jax. Asuka has to win. Right? so that Charlotte Flair can beat Asuka for the title. I don't know if you saw this. A report came out somewhere that Charlotte Flair is due for a major push on Raw. Gosh, a major push for Charlotte Flair? That doesn't seem likely. I mean, when was the last major push she had? Oh, God. That'll be fun. A major push for Charlotte Flair, you say. Wow, that's crazy. Can't imagine that. Apollo Crews is going to beat Andrade. Well, this is the one thing. With the fact that the guy on SmackDown who was responsible for the whole piss-throwing incident, he's now in charge of Raw, too. Bruce Pritchard, who's nothing but a yes man for Vince McMahon, because Vince only cares about his ideas being looked at as being brilliant, and Bruce Pritchard has realized, God love him, that this is the way to being employed forever. So he's just going to say, yeah, right, Vince, what a great idea that is. So either he had the idea for the piss throwing or Vince had the idea for the piss throwing and Bruce was like, A-OK, Vince, what a great idea. Boss, geez, boss, you have such great ideas, boss. And Vince is like, you know what? I like the cut of your jib, Bruce. How would you like to also take over Raw? So apparently Apollo Crews was a project of Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman liked what he saw from Apollo Crews and said, let's push you. And so this might be the end of that, because who knows if Bruce Pritchard even likes Apollo Crews. Jeff Hardy will beat Sheamus, unless Sami Zayn shows up, and then Sheamus wins in that way. Gosh, would you look at all those great matches tomorrow on Backlash. Drew versus Bobby has the potential to be great. Great. Damn, some of the shit they did a few years ago in Impact was off the chain good. By the way, I asked last week, what are we going to call the Lashter Lock? The Fuller Nelson that Bobby Lashley does? And I can't remember your name. I'm very sorry. Somebody tweeted me what they're going to call the Lashter Lock. The ball and chain. Referencing Lana. Because that fucking storyline, never going away. So they're going to call it the ball and chain. It's perfect. They're definitely going to do that. Can't wait for Drew McIntyre to escape from the ball and chain and hit a Claymore. Not one, not two, but 5, 7, 12 Claymores is what it takes to put down Bobby Lashley. Because finishers have no meaning. Anyway. Yeah, so that's Backlash. Really, I mean, like, I'm looking at this card. Everything feels like a placeholder or just like some shit I could see on a Monday or Friday. And, you know, that ain't great. There's literally no way any of the matches that are tomorrow could possibly be as good as Bryan versus Styles. Not a chance. Which is why they put Styles and Bryan on a taped SmackDown show. Jesus Christ. Anyway, that was SmackDown. Tomorrow is Backlash. If anything happens of any kind of consequence, maybe I'll do an extra Sour Graps talking about just Backlash, but I'll probably fold in Backlash into the Raw review on Tuesday night. I mean, if it really is the greatest wrestling match ever, if it is, then I'll do a show tomorrow night. If it's not, then I won't. So I'm not doing a show tomorrow night. That was SmackDown. This has been Sour Graps. I have been Alex Pawlowski. And everything sucks.